Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back. You're on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we continue to dissect the disappointment of last night's loss. Chiefs do not clinch the AFC West. They do not win. In fact, they lose 29-28 to the Chargers. Joining us now, our Chiefs insider, Adam Teicher, on our Sprint guest line. He's proudly brought to you by our friends at Xfinity. Xfinity X1, changing the way Chiefs fans experience TV. Too bad they couldn't make it a win, right? Couldn't do something to make it a win. Chiefs fans can track live stats and scores right there on their TVs with Xfinity X1. Any screen is a TV with the Xfinity TV app. Stream any channel live on any device around your home. Adam, my friend, how are you here today?
Good, Seren. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm fine. The loss is a painful one because it's kind of all too familiar. The defense doesn't get it done. And then on top of that, the news about Kendall Fuller and his wrist. First of all, what do you make of the defensive performance, and what words are there to add for the frustration that Chiefs fans have really had for a couple of years now with that defense?
Yeah. Well, for 3.5 quarters, I thought it was going to be good enough to get it done like everybody else. But you just can't count on these guys in crunch time. I mean, we've seen that time and again. And, hey, they got it done against Baltimore. But, that's Baltimore. That's with a rookie quarterback. Let's just say for argument's sake here, the Chiefs wind up as a wild card now. Now they're going to have to go on the road and play 3 games against some combination of New England, the Chargers, Houston, and L.A., the Chargers. Or Pittsburgh would be the last team.
Right.
How can you count on them to make a stop late in the game when you really need it, if that's what it comes to? You can't count on this defense. So it's one of those deals where I think the Chiefs are going to have to be leading by 2 scores late in the game. And I mean really late in the game. I don't mean with 4 minutes left.
Right.
I think they're going to need to be leading by 9-10 points or more late in the game. And how hard is that going to be to do on the road against good teams? Maybe you do it once, but you're not going to do it week after week after week. I mean, that's kind of what you're looking at here. I told people that, maybe this is reminding me of the Vermeil years now where, they're wasting some good offense. You don't want to overreact to one game maybe, but, they've been having these problems all year defensively. They've been able to outscore it for the most part, and you don't want to overreact to, 3 losses by a total of 7 points all to pretty good teams that could wind up in the Super Bowl. But that's what it's looking like here. And, they're going to have to, without Kendall Fuller, I just don't know how they're going to handle this now. I mean, that's at least his side of the field was reliable, if not great, for most of the season. But, it looks like that's out now, too.
Yeah, and that is the frustrating part, is that this defense has had problems virtually all year, and now they're going to lose a key component. Why would you expect it to get any better? And I think what will be interesting and what I hope the Chiefs are able to do, Brett Veach and Andy Reid, is at the end of the year, really take a hard look and say, all right, is Bob Sutton actually getting the most out of the pieces that we're giving him? We'll talk about Eric Berry here in a second coming back, and I think he absolutely made a difference for this football team, and was great to see him out there. But reality is, and listen, had he played in the second half, what did he get? A couple of snaps, I think, total?
I don't think he was out there at all.
Not at all? Okay. I'm trying to remember. Did I see? I can't remember if I saw him once out there. But anyway, virtually not at all or not at all in the second half. Maybe a full half of Eric Berry, you can turn around and say, okay, they get it done. But, gone is the idea that, okay, if they play at Arrowhead, that makes the defense so much better that they can still win. It's not. They gave up 400 yards. They gave up 29 points. They couldn't make key stops at the end. They couldn't stop them on fourth down. They couldn't stop them at the goal line. They couldn't stop them on the 2-point conversion. It's not. And I'm going to get to Andy Reid, and does he have to turn around and start, being unconventional when it comes to his approach and play calling and going forward on fourth down more, because he's just got to assume that he's going to give up points as soon as he kicks the ball away. But, you know, is there any reason to believe that the defense can play at a championship caliber level? Is there any reason to believe that the defense can hold a team down three times in a row against high-caliber playoff opponents, and four times in a row with three road games in a neutral site game, which is what you're talking about, if they're a wild card? And I think the answer is no. I mean, they're going to play this year. They're not going to fire Bob Sutton and replace him now. But did this seal the fate of Bob Sutton for next year?
You know, we probably thought that before, and it hasn't happened. So, you know, I'm not going to make that call right now. You know, here's the thing. They don't have to be great defensively. You know, they don't have to be a shutdown defense for the Chiefs to win. They have to be good. They have to be good at times and acceptable at others, and they're just not passing that standard right now. You know, they got four sacks and two turnovers in the first half, and you're thinking, all right, this is looking pretty good, and they might pull away in the second half, and it just doesn't happen. And you know, I know you want to talk about Eric Berry later on, but I got to tell you, Sren, I wonder about a plan where you play him only if he's on a pitch count. I get that. You know, the guy's playing his first football game in, you know, 13, 14, 15 months, whatever it is. I get that. Why do you burn it all in the first half? Why do you burn through all of that in the first half? Wouldn't you have been better playing them maybe a little bit early in the game, maybe a little bit in the middle of the game, and then saving some of those snaps for if you needed them, like a you know, a relief pitcher out of the bullpen late in the game? You know, would he have made a difference on that one of those last two drives? Would he have been able to help people line up right on that fourth down or get their assignments down on that two-point conversion at the end where they don't leave Mike Williams uncovered in the end zone? I got to believe he would have helped make the Chiefs make a play in those last 4 minutes. So I wonder about the wisdom of just playing him, burning through that pitch count in the first half, and then just saying, okay, we're done.
Yeah, I don't know what the medical is. It like, hey, once he gets going, he's warmed up, you sit him down for a half, then at that point, you know, you don't want to try to rev it back up. I don't know. I'm with you. I mean, they gave up 7 points with him and 21 without him. I mean, he clearly – it's not as simple as that. That's not the only factor in it, but – you know, it's a strong, compelling argument there. And so where do they go from here is the next question. And you know, what was your vibe that you got on what is next for Eric Berry? He did not get hurt. He went through his pitch count. Is he now ready for a full game 10 days from now in Seattle?
I would think that's the next step. You know, the Chiefs, as we know, we're going to need him. But I would think that would be the next step, is for him to play a full game. But we'll see how that develops. Maybe not a full game, maybe a three quarters of a game. But I, unless there's some issue with doing it that way, I'd rather see those snaps spread out through a game rather than all concentrated right at the start.
You know, what's scary as well with the Fuller injury, but also the realization that this defense, I mean, any concept of it turning the corner is now gone. It's not. It's a matter of damage control and adjusting your approach to how you manage the game on the offensive side of the ball. You can just – Berry was maybe not. Maybe that's an overreaction. Maybe let's see Eric Berry play a full game, if that's coming. Right? Or is he just available for a half the rest of the year? That's all that they think that he can hold up for. I don't know. We'll see. They know that. They know what the plan is. I guess maybe you can say that, look, when we get Eric Berry for a full game over the last two games in the postseason, we're going to be better defensively. I mean, okay. I mean, I guess that's the last final option to think that Bob Sutton's defense can turn the corner. But, I mean, it's at some point – you know, does Clark Hunt have to be the guy to tell Andy Reid you have to make a change?
He won't butt in like that. I mean, that's not his style. He won't meddle like that. So if that would happen, I'd be very surprised, because that's just not been his style to tell the coach how to coach his team.
It is kind of a special moment because they've got serious cap issues. Steven Nelson had a pick. He's one of the free agents. right? We talk all the time about Justin Houston's contract and Dee Ford's in the walk year. He's in his fifth year. We talk about signing Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill a year ahead of their walk year to make sure they're locked up. But, you know, Steven Nelson's on the way out too. I mean, they do, on paper, they're going to take a step back talent-wise on defense next year, correct?
Yeah, they might. I mean, you know, they got three picks in the first two rounds, and you know, I'd be stunned if they didn't invest at least some of those into their secondary. You know, looking forward in this secondary at corner, you know, maybe one of the rookies, Ward or Smith, develops into something, but you can't count on that. They're one of them was a sixth round pick, the other was undrafted. So you look at the other corners the Chiefs have. The only one that they're going to have going forward probably is Kendall Fuller. I don't see Nelson coming back for any kind of serious money. And Scandrick was, as we know, was probably a one-year Band-Aid. So they've got plenty of work to do at corner. I can see of this current group of corners, the only one who at least plays for the Chiefs, when I say plays, I'm not talking about on the roster. I'm talking about playing for them next season. I could see Fuller being the only one next year. So they got a lot of work to do, maybe in free agency, maybe in the draft, maybe in both. But they've got plenty of work to do there. And even in the secondary, long term, how many of the safeties on their roster do you see playing for the Chiefs in, you know, a year, 2 years? You know, probably Eric Berry, but beyond that, I mean, maybe Sorensen. But other than that, you know, there's a lot of work to do in that secondary, a lot of work to do other places. You know, now the Chiefs may have to draft an all-purpose back to replace Kareem Hunt. So there's a lot of work to do, but, you know, that secondary seems to be ground zero right now.
And I don't bring it up to say, okay, let's do our January and February, or hopefully February, topics now. But I think I bring it up to say, hey, listen, there are a lot of pieces on this defense, and a lot of them are going to be gone. And, you know, this should be the culmination, right? You put the kid in, the kid's doing his job at quarterback, the offense is humming along, even with the loss of Kareem Hunt, which we'll talk about here in a second, because I think we did feel it for the first time, really, that he wasn't there, you know, in this game. As Chiefs fans, you could see that they just weren't really able to get the ground game going. But this should have been the culmination. And you can be like, oh, we got all these years with Patrick Mahomes. And I do agree, while he's cheap, this is their best chance. But this may have been their best one of the 4 to 6 year window that they're given, where he is cost efficient. They gave one away in an apprenticeship last year. Their choice, the returns this year are very good, but I'm still not convinced that they shouldn't have turned things over to him during that 1-6 stretch. And maybe last year would have been it, right? Maybe they beat the Titans and they move on. They chose not to go down that road. They had a perfect opportunity to turn things over to the kid. Last year, they didn't do it, and they crapped out in the playoffs like they did every time they played a decent quarterback. And this time, I don't even know if you can say that with the Titan game. They gave that one away. They did not change defensive coordinators this year, so this is the second year of what I consider to be a six-year window. It's 5 years under contract and the first year of a new deal that would probably be backloaded, because that's how the Chiefs do every contract. They never get in front of the salary cap, so I'm sure they'll backload that thing, and he'll be cheap for one more. It looks like that this is the second year, and they've given it away, and next year they're going to lose a lot of these pieces. That to me is what makes this loss frustrating. 100% you're right, Adam. We can't overreact. This team is still 11-3, and if they win two games, they're the number one seed in the AFC. That's a hell of a place to be, and I have nothing but respect and admiration for what the Chiefs have been able to do. But when you're that close, and there were obvious moves that seemed to be needing to be made, and you didn't get it done, it's just a complete gut punch right now.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm not big on overreacting to one game, win or lose. But I told somebody this before the game started. Championship teams don't lose games like that at home. How many times have the Patriots over the last 20 or so years lost a game like that at home? Very, very few times. And if you had told me the Chiefs were going to be leading by 14 points midway through the fourth quarter, I'd say you should never lose that. And I guarantee you, the Patriots have never lost a home game like that. I don't care who they're playing. So all of a sudden this has a little bit of this feels like it's coming apart a little bit, and I'm eager to see how the Chiefs respond and get back to it in 10 days against the Seahawks.
No, they need to be impressive against the Seahawks, and the Seahawks want to ground and pound. It's a team that's going to play like the Baltimore Ravens, which inherently keeps you in the game. I agree with you, and it does. I mean, now the 2003 comparisons are 100% accurate. They're 100% accurate unless they close out with two really impressive wins and get the one seed. Because, you know, that team was 9-0 and then came down the stretch to finish 4-3 in their last seven games. This one, it's not going to be just the last handful of games, but the way you don't feel like they can close the door. And I think your point is 100% valid. I mean, the Patriots don't miss that opportunity to close the door on this one. And I think this game also exposed, and I'll give credit to our man Bob Glauber, who really didn't want to hear my, hey, the Chiefs can move on from Kareem Hunt. It's not going to be that big of an issue. I said, listen, the problem is going to be in the four-minute offense, icing a game. And they could not ice the game. With the offense, the four-minute offense was not able, after the Chargers cut it to seven, was not able to freeze things out. 17 carries for 60 yards. That's not terrible, but it's certainly not great. Did we see the Chargers expose the Chiefs' lack of a ground game, and other teams are now going to imitate this?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you know, there's no hiding the fact that I can't tell you that not having Kareem Hunt, the Chiefs can't overcome that. I can't tell you that. They may be able to. But there's no getting around the fact they're not as good without him. I mean, that's just, I think fairly plain to see. And it was, I think, before last night. They don't have a back like Kareem Hunt, who's as versatile, who can do so many things, who really was a big play threat, not because necessarily of his speed, but because he was so tough to bring down and because you can line him up just about anywhere. There's just not that kind of guy. And I know you've talked about Spencer Ware, who blows people up. It doesn't necessarily break a lot of tackles, and that's an accurate way of putting it. I mean, Kareem Hunt broke tackles. He didn't necessarily blow guys up, but he was just so good about being tough to bring down, and the Chiefs don't have that kind of guy. And then you throw in Sammy Watkins not being there, and you throw in Tyreek Hill not being maybe 100%, and sooner or later, this starts to add up, and it's adding up right now.
We're talking to Adam Teicher here in the program. All right, so what happens? It's a long ways away, but what do you expect them to do? How do they finish the season at Seattle? Raiders coming into Kansas City. Do they get it done?
Yeah. This 10-day break, I think, is ideal. I mean, if the Chiefs only had 7 days to overcome this Chargers game, I think that might be a lot to ask, but the extra 3 days maybe is big for them. Maybe they can dig deep and figure something out and figure out a way to win this game. It's going to be a fascinating game, I think. And if Kendall Fuller's not there, wow, what a challenge that's going to be to try to patch together that secondary now. But I think they will win their last two games, but it's a pretty tenuous feeling right now. I would have certainly felt better about their ability to do that 2 weeks ago than I do now.
Yeah, no, it's not promising to say the very least. Do you think the Chargers? What's your mindset of what the Chargers are now? Watching them winning this game without their top two running backs, without their number one wideout Keenan Allen basically out of the game very early. They've got the Ravens at home and at the Broncos. How do you think the Chargers finish?
I think there's a good chance they'll finish 13-3. You know, I'm pretty impressed with them. They came in and got done what they needed to get done, and they did that 2 weeks ago. Remember, against Pittsburgh in the same similar situation. You know, down 23-7 in the second half, and they got it done there. So you got to hand it to them, and I think that's a legitimate team. That may be the best team in the AFC, and they've got the Baltimore coming up on Saturday next week, so it's a short week for the Ravens, but a long week for the Chargers, and the Ravens are the ones doing the traveling, so you like that situation for the Chargers. And then maybe the game in Denver will be a more difficult game for them, but There's a good shot at they're going to be 13-3. So I think the Chiefs are going to need both these wins to get where they want to go as far as winning the division and getting the number one seed.
All right, Adam, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, Sven, we'll talk to you later.